Remember records? Those pieces of vinyl we used to spin when we wanted to listen to music? You think that nobody cares anymore about records? Well, think again.
Some records I will pay serious money for, provided that they're a sincere B+. Other than that, I just prefer to have them on CD.
But CDs will never have the presence of an original 78.
Wrong! A digital transfer adequately mastered will sound identical to the original. Do you have a decent equalizer?
I have a Klipsch 2B3.
Well, obviously the problem. You expect a 10-band equalizer to impart state-of-the-art sound? Dream a little dream. It's never going to happen.
It's a clip from the movie Ghost World. And those are the kind of people that Brett Milano writes about in his book Vinyl Junkies, Adventures in Record Collecting. Milano told Steve Paulson why some people are so obsessed with records.
A lot of music collectors, music lovers, do have a good supply of CDs. But to them, a CD is kind of, it's more like a representation of the object than it is the object itself. I mean, as someone in the book says, that the object is to get as close to the original event as possible. I mean, the event being that performance in the studio and how it was pressed into vinyl back at that very time. And if you can get the original pressing of a great record, whether it's, you know, Miles Davis or whether it's a 60s garage rock single, and getting it the way it was, just as it was originally pressed at that time, and getting a needle onto that, well, for these people, will just bring you back to that little island, that place where that music was made, and transport you there. And that's kind of the object of the search.
And do you think it really sounds different if it's on vinyl rather than CD?
Oh, it does. There's a guy in the book named Jeff Connolly who plays in a great Boston rock and roll band called The Liars. And he played me a record by a Chicago band called We the People, who made a couple of ultra obscure 60s garage rock singles, one of which was called You Burn Me Up and Down, which is kind of like, it's Louie Louie to the nth degree. I mean, it's ultra primitive, it's primal, it's great. And I'd heard the song a million times on CD reissues and bootleg vinyl reissues. He showed me the original single, which is has a beautiful white label, and he put it down on the turntable, and bam, I mean, this thing was just more vivid than I'd ever heard it before.
So it just sounds better. It sounds, what, brighter or warmer or what?
Brighter and warmer, I think, is a good start. There are kind of psychoacoustical reasons for this. I mean, I have talked to people like, say, Bill Englund, who works for Rhino Records and is one of the premier remasterers for CD. So CDs are really his bread and butter. But he will say that the physical act of dragging a little piece of rock against that piece of vinyl just creates certain resonant vibrations that you cannot get by pressing a button on a CD. Of course, you got to be pretty far gone to think that, but a lot of us are.
You write a fair amount about this guy, Jeff Connolly, who I guess goes by the name
Monoman.
Monoman, yeah. And he's pretty obsessive himself as a collector.
He's a great example of the sort of primal drive to get your hands on these records. I mean, I've been a fan of his music for a while, but he's somebody I know and someone that to me just embodied the mania that would make you want to get your hands and need to get your hands on these records. And it's the kind of the same mania that drives him to play music. Kind of a recurring thing. I mean, a lot of people in the book are musicians, people like Peter Buck from R.E.M. and Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth. And in a way, the same creativity they apply to their own music is applied to absorbing other people's music and absorbing records.
Now, does Mono Man have any particular stories about a few records that he has pursued endlessly?
There was one that he pursued almost literally endlessly. There was a guy named Tony Jackson, who was the original lead singer of The Searchers, the British invasion band. He was kicked out of The Searchers right before they made their big hit with Needles and Pins. But the records he sang on after he got kicked out of The Searchers were very pure, bluesy, British invasion rock and roll. And he had to get a certain EP that Tony Jackson made. And he found a collector in England that had that record. And he put money in the mail. The dealer wanted $2,000 for it. So what did he do? He took $2,000 of cash and sent it off to Europe to get a hold of this record. Did it get there? No. And so... After going through a great existential crisis of what it all meant and what was he going to do with himself now, he ponied up another $2,000 and got it through PayPal. So there were four songs on that record. He did wind up paying a grand per song. Mind you, for songs he already had on a reissue CD. But
he already had it?
He had the songs. No, he wanted the original copy. He had them dubbed onto a CD, but he didn't want the CD. He wanted the vinyl.
Now, you have some great stories about obsessed collectors, and one of those is Robert Crumb, the legendary underground comics artist, and I guess he has a thing for old 78s.
Yeah, Robert Crumb's favorite music is very early jazz and blues. I mean, for him, there's just something very pure and inspiring about it. And he was one of those people that went around the country in the 70s knocking on doors. I mean, going into black neighborhoods where they had relatives that worked at the pressing plants, trying to find the original 78s. And he did wind up with a pretty good collection of them. His friend Terry Zweigoff, who directed Ghost World, was part of those expeditions. They found a lot of stuff together, and Crumb talks about that in the book. And in fact, Robert Crumb has only got a few hundred 78s. He's got, you know, maybe like 1,000 or so songs in his collection. So that's something you can maybe hope to absorb in your lifetime, and he's pretty happy with what he's got. But he'll say that even for him, like finding, you know, an original Charlie Patton record, he talks about working for some publisher he worked with when he was starting to do comics. And he sat the publisher down and played him a Charlie Patton 78. And the guy sat there and just didn't get it. And Crumb knew right away he did not want to work with this guy.
Now, I remember there was that documentary about Robert Crumb. I guess it was done by Terry Zweigoff. And as I recall, this whole business of record collecting kind of came up in that.
When I listen to old music, that's one of the few times when I actually have a kind of a love for humanity. You hear the best part of the soul of the common people, you know, their way of expressing their connection to eternity, or whatever you want to call it. Modern music doesn't have that calamitous loss that people can't express themselves that way anymore, you know.
Crumb's collection of 78s and how painstakingly he had to package each of them up to get them across, because he moved to the south of France, so to get them across the Atlantic Ocean with him. And in fact, I asked him, he succeeded. He did not break any records on that trip.
What does R. Crumb think about his fellow record collectors?
Well, he says that record collecting is scary. And he says that it will not get you any action with the women, which for Crumb is a real horrible thing to say. And he's also very particular about what kind of music you collect. Robert Crumb, of course, did the cover for Cheap Thrills, the great Janis Joplin, Big Brother, and the Holding Company album. So I mentioned to him that, yes, I really like 60s psychedelic music. And that nearly ended the interview. His response was, oh, that's the worst kind of music ever made. And I said, okay, I won't go any further with that one.
Now, one thing that struck me is that I think everyone you've mentioned so far is a man. Are men just more obsessed about collecting records than women?
It does kind of seem that way, although I did try to refute the stereotype by getting some women collectors into the mix. There are women that do go out and collect records. I mean, there's a woman named Lisa Sutton in the book that's a big fan and enthusiast of 60s and 70s commercial pop bubblegum music. She's got more Partridge Family records than anybody and can tell you why they're so great. There is kind of an impulse. Maybe it's just more of an anal thing, and maybe that women experience life in a different way. I did talk to a woman in the book, a writer named Pagan Kennedy, who decided that collecting the records didn't have anything to do with the thrill that she got from hearing the music, which makes perfect sense logically. And maybe for us guys, logic doesn't really enter into it that way.
Is there anything in particular that these people have in common? I mean, maybe we've already talked about this, but I mean, other than sort of the quest to get close to the source, any other common traits?
One thing they all have in common, I think, is Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. I don't think there's any collector that hasn't got that in their life somewhere. Other than that, I think it's a certain drivenness. It's a creativity. It's a willingness to fight against the boundaries, I suppose, of how much you can own, how much you can listen to, how much there is still out there to discover. I think these people were the overly good students that just had too much information at their disposal and keep wanting more.
So what do you have in your collection?
Mine just gets more eclectic by the day. Since I've written this book, I keep finding more stuff I just need to accumulate. My current passion is Moog synthesizer records from the early 70s, because those got pretty exotic after Switched On Bach became popular. There just became infinite knockoffs of that record. There was one called Everything You Always Wanted to Hear on the Moog But Were Afraid to Ask For, which is very over-the-top electronic versions of classical chestnuts. And then you get lots of songs played on the synthesizer that never should have audited that. Like Raindrops Keep Falling My Head, played on a Moog. It's awful and it's perfect.
Brett Milano is the author of Vinyl Junkies, Adventures in Record Collecting. He spoke with Steve Paulson.